Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 5 to close at 21,012, close to a record. S&P 500 up just a fraction, 0.09 at 2,399. That is good enough for a new record high close. NASDAQ Composite up 1 at 6,102, also a record high close. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps, down 5 at 1,391. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points at 2.38%. Oil up 28 cents at $46.50 per barrel. Gold down $1.90 at $12.27. Emmanuel Macron defeated Marine Le Pen in France's presidential election. The euro fell from six-month highs against the dollar in what looks like a sell-the-news reaction. The dollar rose with Treasury yields on confirmation of Macron's widely expected victory. The CBOE Volatility Index dropped to 9.77, marking its lowest close since 1993. Macron won by a margin of 66% to 34%. The rise of Le Pen's National Front and France's persistent economic and industrial problems made this campaign a referendum on Europe and globalization. Macron repeated that the big divide was between those who see an open economy as an opportunity and those who, like Le Pen, seem to fear the challenges it offers. Macron's decisive triumph over the anti-Euro Marine Le Pen will likely strengthen the EU and deal a blow to the populist wave that has roiled Western democracies for the past year. On assuming office next Sunday as France's youngest leader since Napoleon, the 39-year-old Macron faces the immediate challenge of securing a majority in next month's parliamentary election in order to have a realistic chance of implementing his plans for lower state spending, higher investment, and reform of the tax, labor, and pension systems. With the two mainstream parties, the conservative Republicans and the left-wing Socialist, both failing to reach the presidential runoff, his chances of winning a majority that support his election pledges will likely depend on him widening his centrist base. Macron's toughest task may be keeping the Euro Union intact. The largest global banks in London plan to move about 9,000 jobs to the continent over the next 2 years. 13 major banks, including Goldman Sachs, UBS, and Citigroup, have given an indication of how they would bulk up their operations in Europe to secure market access to the European Union's single market when Britain leaves the bloc. Last week, Standard Chartered and J.P. Morgan were the latest banks to outline plans for their European operations after Brexit. Talks with financial authorities in Europe have been underway for several months, but banks are increasingly firming up plans to move staff and operations. Back in the U.S., demand for bank loans from commercial and industrial firms was weaker in the first quarter. The Federal Reserve survey of senior loan officers showed standards for loans were basically unchanged. The officers said that they continued to tighten standards for commercial real estate, a process that economists said started in late 2015. Many officers cited regulatory reasons for tightening commercial real estate standards. There was also weaker demand for auto loans and credit cards. The Arizona Regional Multiple Listing Service reports that overall sales in the Phoenix market in April were up 4.5% year over year. Cash sales, that frequently means investors, were down to 22.5% of total sales. Active inventory is now down 11% year over year. And this is the sixth consecutive month with a year over year decrease in inventory, following 8 months with year-over-year increases. Supply and demand formulas would indicate higher prices. Black Knight Financial Services reported that in the fourth quarter of 2016, 44% of refinances were cash-outs. The housing ATM is now back in working order. This percentage was the highest level of cash outs in the last 8 years. What was happening 8 years ago? Straight Path surged more than 30% today after an unnamed telecommunications company, possibly Verizon, raised its offer to buy the wireless spectrum holder for about $3.1 billion. That would top a bid by AT&T. Tyson Foods was the biggest S&P loser, down nearly 6%, after the meat processor reported a slump in quarterly profit. Sinclair Broadcast Group said it would buy Tribune Media, one of the largest U.S. television station operators, for about $3.9 billion cash and stock, and assume about $2.7 billion in debt. The $43.50 per share offer represents a nearly 8% premium to Tribune's Friday close. Tribune operates 42 television stations in 33 markets. Handbag maker Coach said it would buy Kate Spade for $2.4 billion as it looks to tap the popularity of its smaller rivals' quirky satchels and totes. The $18.50 per share offer in cash represents a premium of 9% to Kate Spade's Friday close. Amazon has a knack for making simple hardware popular. First, it was the humble e-reader. Now it's the voice-controlled speaker. Amazon holds a 70% market share in the new category, which it invented with the Amazon Echo in 2014, according to research from eMarketer. The report says Google holds a 23% market share, but may be poised to take more of the market in 2017. Researchers say 60 million Americans will use Amazon's Alexa, Google Now, Microsoft's Cortana, or Apple's Siri at least once per month in 2017. For Amazon, this is great news. The company has recently begun a campaign to make Alexa synonymous with voice assistants. Other developers can now use Alexa in their own applications, and the virtual personal assistant was shoehorned into dozens of products on display in this year's Consumer Electronics Show. Amazon's market share in voice-controlled speakers mirrors its success in another business, ebooks. After killing off the competition from physical bookstores like Borders, Amazon now enjoys a 74% share of the ebook market. The Ira Sohn Conference is different things to different people. For young hedge fund drivers, it's high-priced networking. For the old guard, it's a good show for a good cause. And for the hedge fund presenters, the annual confab serves as a sort of debutante's ball for new investment theses. A highly orchestrated and ritualized setting in which to trot out your most darling idea, primped and permed for the admiring gaze of the investing public. Bill Ackman, CEO of Pershing Square, dragged one of his oldest investments out of the basement, threw a shiny new bow on top, presented it as if it were fresh goods. Ackman pimped Howard Hughes Corporation, a position he's held since 2010, and it's split from General Growth Properties, and it worked to the tune of a 4.5% gain today. Meanwhile, Jeff Gundlach, the head of Double Line Capital, presented his Sohn 2017 investment theses. Long emerging markets, short the S&P 500, an actively managed fund, Gundlach reminded us, and leverage it all once over. So Jeff Gundlach wins Sohn 2017. This weekend also marked a slightly more bourgeois shindig, the 2017 edition of the Berkshire Hathaway Annual Shareholder Meeting. Much of the discussion centered around the advanced ages of Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. Warren is 86, Charlie is 93. Both seemed to acknowledge that time waits for no one. Buffett said he would continue to run Berkshire until he is buried in the ground. Charlie looks more and more like Yoda with each passing year. Charlie Munger said the Chinese stock market is cheaper than the American stock market. Charlie also said that single-payer health care is the answer to fix the nation's health care system woes. Buffett said the tax system is not crippling our business around the world. A specter much more sinister than corporate taxes is looming over American businesses, health care cost. And chief executives have been maniacally focused on seeking relief from their tax bills. Would be smart to shift their attention to these health care costs, which are swelling and swallowing their profits. Warren riffed on his misses as much as his hits. The investing legends twice talked about their failure to invest in Amazon, despite having high praise for CEO Jeff Bezos. The Berkshire execs issued a mea culpa on missing out on Walmart and Google. Buffett called missing out on the two growth stories his worst mistake and told the nearly 40,000 assembled that he blew it. Buffett admitted he was disappointed with IBM and he's dumped about one-third of his position recently. Buffett defended the Brazilian buyout house with which he attempted to take over Unilever by saying 3G was only following a standard capitalist stance by doing business by slashing cost and cutting staff. He also acknowledged, though, that cutting jobs can be a painful process. It wasn't all bad news. Berkshire's net worth increased by $27 billion last year, and the conglomerate has about $86 billion of cash on hand. Berkshire Hathaway disclosed it more than doubled its stake in Apple during the first quarter, and the stock hit an all-time intraday high, and Apple's market capitalization topped $800 billion today. Good news for Americans. Life expectancy in the U.S. increased more than 5 years from 1980 to 2014, now up to 79.1 years. The bad news for Americans? Your actual life expectancy can vary by more than 20 years, depending on where in the U.S. you happen to be born. University of Washington researchers reported in a study published today that the life expectancy from birth in the U.S. varies from 67 years in Ogallala, Lakota County, South Dakota, to 87 years in Summit County, Colorado. Counties with lower life expectancies tend to have higher rates of health conditions like obesity and diabetes, higher poverty rates, and higher proportions of minority residents. In 13 counties across the U.S., Americans can now expect to die younger than their parents did. And the eight counties with the largest declines in life expectancy since 1980, all in the state of Kentucky. Globally, the U.S. ranks 42nd in average life expectancy. Dow Industrials up 5 at 21,012. S&P 500 up a fraction at 2,399, a record. NASDAQ up 1 at 6,102, also a record high close. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.